I like a good shower. Do some of my best thinking, praying in the shower. Don't let this mental picture go too far this morning, okay? And this morning I've been out in the pastures trying to find cows and calves and riding. It's kind of chilly out, to be honest with you. And got to the house, and man, I run a little bit late, and I thought, oh, there's that hot shower waiting. And there was, okay? Problem was this morning, oh, when the shower was almost over, I heard this, nope. And I know who it was. And I said, Lord, what do you mean, nope? And he said, what you have planned to share this morning, nope. I'm putting in a language that I can understand. Well, I know for sure that when he says nope, you don't. And so I get out of the shower, and it's 9:30, okay? And so what I'm going to share with you this morning is about as fresh can be. And if it seems a little bit awkward, that'll explain why. So we're back over in John 14. Have you ever seen a passage of Scripture that contains so much truth? Wow. When I was a kid growing up, we had some whirlpools around here. Okay, there was a whirlpool out at the Round Hole on Palm de Terre River. And there was a Round Hole over on Big Sauk River, there was a whirlpool. And if you went swimming in one of those places, you stayed out of the whirlpool because it was dangerous. Okay, and there were even tragically some folks that drowned in those things. Well, in a good way, this chapter that we're in is kind of a whirlpool of truth. Just the more it goes around, the more truth comes out. And so we're still in chapter 14 of John. So let me read this morning. Verse 7, let's start. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Then Philip, he's one of the 11. Judas is gone, of course. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, he said, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. A last minute title for our time together this morning is Questions That Must Be Answered. And there are two of these, and we'll get to both of those in just a minute. But in this passage of Scripture, the 11 disciples that remain are confused. Now think about these guys, what's been going on with them, okay? Just 3 years earlier, Jesus had found them one by one, in some cases two, and he just said to them, follow me. And they left everything that they had and followed him. Their idea, their understanding was, this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. Not instantly, but as they walked with him, they began to see what others were seeing, that this is the one that the Old Testament prophets had told would be coming. Problem was, their understanding of Messiah was a political Messiah, one who would come and in this case, overthrow the Romans who were treating them in almost a servitude way. And they thought this is the guy, and we're up front, on front row with the Messiah. In fact, you remember, as we mentioned a week or so ago, that one of the mothers was was so convinced of it. She said, when you, you know, are seated on the throne, when you're in your place of authority, I want one of my boys to be on your right and one of your boys to be on the left. And so these guys, that's what they think is going on. And then something happened to them, okay? And now they're confused. And what they found out is coming to light in the passage and verses after what we've read today. So, a state of confusion, I would imagine that most of us have experienced this. Many maybe are experiencing it right now. You know, whether it's, should I do this, should I do that, am I okay with the Lord, am I not okay with the Lord? Confusion, it seems to dominate our lives as well. Confusion, and excuse this please, is a state of disequilibration. We touched on that, I think, sometime back, it seems like. What that means is simply that life is out of kilter. We're confused. Nothing makes sense. We don't like that. God created us for a state of what is called the opposite of that, equilibration, when everything is balanced. When there's a state of peace and contentment, and the stress level is very low, if there at all. Everything is okay. We want that state of everything is okay, don't we? And when it does this, we don't like it, and usually we are confused, and we don't know what to do. That's what's happening to these guys. They thought they had it figured out. They thought they had it figured out, and now they're finding out they don't have it figured out. So, Jesus, in fact, himself seems to have created this state of confusion. Listen to what he said to them, all right? They're planning on being a big deal. That's their goal. And then Jesus steps up and says, I'm going away. Well, that's not what we had figured out, Lord. You're supposed to be going to the prominence as the political Messiah, and we're with you. He said, no, I'm going away, and you cannot come with me right now. You will later. You know the way where I'm going. Now, put yourself in their shoes. Wouldn't you be confused also? You know, the idea comes to mind at that time, well, what are we supposed to do? We're following you, and you're leaving, and we can't go until later, and you're going somewhere, and we know the way, but you haven't told us. Thomas, as we touched on already in another context, he steps up and he said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Fair question. They're confused. They're confused. If they only knew what was going to happen in the next few hours, they're confused. And so they are still dealing, the reason for their confusion, they are still dealing with one of the great questions that all human beings, including us and them and everybody else, deal with. Here's that first question. Don't you want to be God? That's really the question they're dealing with. And you and I have dealt with that question. And everybody that's a human being has dealt with it. We probably ought to say some more about this, shouldn't we? Okay? Do you know where that question comes from? The garden. Okay? There's Adam and Eve and God. Okay? In the garden. It's good. It's good. And Adam and Eve are okay with God. They are worshiping Him. What that means is they didn't get up and go to church and Sunday school on Sunday morning, but what that means was they saw God as in charge. And they enjoyed, they liked to be in His presence. and they obeyed what he told them to do. And everything was good. And then another creation of God's, one called Lucifer, shows up in the garden. The scripture calls him a serpent. And he finds Eve, and he goes to Eve, and that's the question he asks Eve. He kind of gets around to it a little in a sly fashion. He will get around to those issues in your life and mine in a sly fashion as well. He'll catch us when we're not ready. And he came up to Eve, and he said, "Hath God said?" You see, creating that doubt. "Hath God said?" And they're talking about eating the fruit off of a tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "Hath God said?" And he said, "We can't eat of that tree. We can eat of any other tree, but not that tree." Now here it is, the question. God knows that when you do, you'll be like him. Put in question form, don't you want to be God? Don't you want to be God? See, he had already dealt with that question. He had concluded, "I will be like the Most High." And he led a rebellion in heaven and convinced a third of all the angels, and they rebelled, and they were put out of heaven down to the earth, and he has become Satan, the devil, the archenemy of God. But there's the question. Don't you want to be God? Now, these guys, that's their plan. And I don't want to be too personal today, but that's your plan and my plan. Now, we kind of put it in a nice way, okay? You know, say, "I want to be God," you know, like, you know, but we want to be a big deal. We want to be popular. We want to be wealthy. We want to be famous. We want to be invited to all the right things. We want to be one of the movers and shakers. However you want to say it, it comes to be the same thing. We want to be in charge of something significant in a significant way. We want to be a big deal. Don't you want to be like God? Well, Adam and Eve did because they ate. And our dealing with this issue is because they did, because we were born with that nature. So every person born is born with the nature to want to be God. To want to be a big deal, to want to be in charge, to want to be significant, all those kind of things. And that sin nature that every one of us was born with is going to be bent in that direction and opposite of God. There's also an issue here. When God created us, he created us with a God-sized hole, one guy said, that only he can fill. And so all along, when we were created with that "I want to be God" in our nature, there is this desire to worship him. And so in place of him, we do worship, but we worship ourselves. Now, have I moved too quickly or too crookedly or anything like that? Are you with me? That's what's causing the confusion for these guys. They had a plan. Do you have a plan for your life? And I'll do what I want to do. And maybe you're at the place at the end of that plan, and it's not helping at all. That's not what I wanted after all. Well, I'll try something. What are you looking for? You're looking for something that will fulfill that hole. You understand, and I understand, that worshiping ourselves is what we're doing. That's the inclination of the nature that he gave us, that sin nature. That's why Jesus said, and we said it a million times here, if you're going to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, die to yourself, and follow me. He recognized that if you're going to follow him, that you had to get rid of the God that you're worshiping, which is self, which came from Adam and Eve from that day in the garden when they answered that question, do you want to be like God? And they said yes, and they ate. That's where it all came from. Now, these guys are confronted with that because they had plans. They're going to be a big deal. They're going to, when Jesus gets to be the political Messiah that they and many others now had concluded he was, including that group that welcomed him into Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to him in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what they were saying. This is him. And look who was around him at the time. The 12 disciples. Judas is still there. I mean, they're kind of, you know, one of these kind of deals, okay? I'm with him, you know, kind of deal. And now, Jesus has said, I'm going away. And you cannot come. Now, you will. And they don't even know where he's going, but they're supposed to get there. So the point of confusion, the disciples had concluded that Jesus was the earthly Messiah, that they're with Jesus, called by him, so their plan was to be a big deal in his kingdom on this earth. We okay? We inherited the same nature they did, don't forget. All right, that's the point of confusion. There's a conflict. Jesus seems to add to their confusion when he tells them this. Okay? They're kind of spinning right now, and then Jesus, as we looked at a few weeks ago, makes this statement to Thomas in response to Thomas and the others, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He has taken it up to a new level. You see, Jesus is countering Satan's question, don't you want to be like God, with a question of his own. Jesus' question is, don't you want to see God? Now, that's a big question. May I ask us this morning, do you want to see God? Yeah. You see, Satan's question, don't you want to be like God? Okay? He knows that when you eat, you'll be like him. Don't you want to be like him? And now Jesus says, don't you want to see God? So Jesus frames the issue for them. Ultimately, don't you want to get to God? Now, here's their mindset, okay? I'm going to do this following Jesus thing. He's going to be a big deal. I'm going to be next to the big deal. And we're going to go through this life. I'm going to be a famous. I'm going to die and go to heaven. Everything's going to be good. That's the plan. That's the plan. That is not the will of God. Now, Jesus is going to be king and rule, but not now. But not now. He is coming again, as he said, and we looked at that a few weeks ago and spent a whole Sunday looking at that. He is coming again, and when he comes again, he will be king. And he will rule and reign with power from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and then there's a new heaven and new earth. That's coming. I guess they had the two things confused. So when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, don't you want to see God? Did you hear what Philip said then? One of the other 11? He said, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Huh? Is this thing messed up or what? I can't imagine what the Lord was thinking here. Spent 3 years with these guys, and we're not even at square one. I don't know what Philip's asking here, to be honest with you. Basically, Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Philip just fast forwards to the end. He says, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Here's the key, folks, to these 11 and to you and me. We are not going to see the Father with our current plan if it doesn't go through the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, you got to get that. Do you want to see God? Yeah, all right, good. A couple of you do. Okay, all right. Yes, of course we do. Or we wouldn't be. Why are we here if we don't want to see God? Maybe now, but certainly then. And he has just told them, you are not going to see the Father with your current plan. You're not going to see him if you are betting on the fact that I'm a political Messiah and that you're going to be with me and that then you're going to do it your way and then you're going to see the Father. Like Philip said, show us the Father. It'll be enough for us. And Jesus is saying, your plan's not going to work. And neither will yours or mine, if it doesn't include, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Do you see what's going on here? Two worlds are colliding. Their plan and God's will. I know that many of you in this room have a plan. And it looks like this. I'm going to do a bunch of good stuff. What I call good. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to put some money in a box. I'm going to help some people out if I'm not too busy. And when it's all said and done, okay, I'm going to calculate this thing. And I'm going to have enough good stuff, okay, so that I can see God. Now, I'm being a little bit whatever about that, but that's pretty much what most of the world thinks. That somewhere out there, there's this big scale that has your name on it, and the good stuff gets on this side, the bad stuff on this side, and the idea is to get this side higher than this side. And if that happens, you're in. You get to see God. Do you know, I have read the scripture from the front to the back. And I'm pretty sure that's not in there. In fact, Lindell, it's not in there. There is no scale. There's no movie projector running, filming your life. And it'll be played back at a time in the future. And whatever that movie projector film shows is what happens. It's not there. They're books. And the books are going to be opened. But you all know something? If you are in Christ Jesus, if you have repented, believed, and abide, the books don't apply to you. You see that? Now, for those who are yet to believe, if they're yet to believe at that time, wherever, whenever it is, the books are everything. But their name's not in the book, but every sin that they have committed is in a book. And because their name is not in the book of life, he's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Do you see that? But if you're in Christ Jesus, what happens to all the stuff that you've done that's called sin? Gone. Under the blood. You think, that's just too weird for me. I don't care, you know. The God of this universe planned it that way. That's His will. That's His plan. That's His design. And that's the problem today. Everybody wants to come up with a customized religion. And there is no scripture at Lindell either that says, go out and customize the way you want it to be. There is a plan. It's His plan. It's the only plan. And if you want to see God, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see? And this morning, you're either in that plan or you're trying to run your own game. And your game won't work. It has not worked for anyone. And it won't work for anyone in the future. You see, the conflict is really a conflict of faith. Faith in your plan or faith in Him. That's what it comes down to. This morning, let's see the conclusion. Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. If you had known me, you would know my Father. You thought of me as Messiah, a deliverer, a political king, who was coming to make your lives better and important. I'm telling you, as I've told you before, the Father and I are one, Jesus said. I am in the Father, and the Father is me. What he's saying there, folks, is I am God. I am the very Son of God. I'm not a political Messiah. I'm not going to deliver you from the bondage of your life, and I'm not going to elevate you in this world. If you join Jesus just to get in the right circles, or just to get some kudos in this life, or whatever other temporary thing you thought it would get you, folks, you're still, excuse me, lost in your sins and without hope. That's what these guys were doing. That's what they thought was going to happen. Jesus said, matter-of-factly, I am the way to the Father. Cease fulfilling that desire to worship because of what Adam and Eve said. They said, okay, and they did eat. And they chose at that point to forsake worshiping the Father and worship themselves because they wanted to be like God. You see, that desire to worship, that God-sized hole is going to be filled. And it will be filled with us, ourselves, and what we do and what we accomplish and what we possess and how much money we have and all that other stuff. That's nothing but worshiping self. Or it will be filled with Him. And Adam and Eve and all of us who are descendants of them, and that would be all of us, initially choose to worship self. And now Jesus comes and says, I am the way to the Father. I am the way to the Father. I'm going away. I'm going away and prepare a place for you. I'll come again and receive you to myself. But I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. And when I come into your life as Lord and Savior, then you will worship the Father. Then you can see and will see the Father. And then there is not a state of confusion any longer in any situation. Because now when that state of confusion may come, we stop. And because He is Lord, we say, Lord, I don't know about this situation. What do you want me to do? And you don't do anything until He tells you. You see? Now, if you're a believer this morning, if you have repented, believed, and abide, and that old habit pattern of worshiping yourself, it'll erupt every now and then. Okay? And you get to that place of being confused about something. Folks, stop. Get on your knees, on your face. Posture is not important, but sometimes it is necessary. Don't take another step until He tells you. Will He do that? Absolutely He will. Oh, there are times He'll let you go ahead. You can just go ahead, well, I know how to do it, I'm a smart, you know, that kind of thing. And whap. You see, the Scripture says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son, daughter, whom He receives. That chastisement, folks, hurts. He's not angry at you. He's proving His love to you. You say, well, didn't He give us a logical mind so that we can figure and deduce problems? And He gave us a mind, okay, to have enough sense to believe Him and follow Him. Yeah. Because who's going to get the glory if your little plan works? He will not share the worship with anybody. You see? He will be glorified. I said that was the conclusion, didn't I? You see, many in a quest to worship, to bring peace and contentment to life, will find something kind of in the middle. Something that's religious. Okay? And so I'll do the religion thing, all right? And everybody will be kind of impressed with me that I do. But I'm really over here. I want to be God. I want to call the shots. I want to... Folks, we are dealing there, if that's the continual habitual practice of a life, 1 John says, that person has never known Jesus Christ. There is not a religious formula that's somewhere in the middle that you can follow. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, or I am lost in my trespasses and sins. And the only way to see the Father is through Christ and Christ alone. So if you want to see the Father this morning, and by the way, I might encourage us that I mentioned a while ago that judgment time didn't apply to us, but there is one that does, the judgment seat of Christ. As we said, you can read about it in 1 Corinthians 3. And at that time, the works that we have done are going to be judged, not us. Okay, it's not a matter of heaven or not heaven. But the works are going to be judged. And folks, don't you want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And you see, the works are going to last if they have been done for his glory and not for ours. Leave with those two questions this morning. Some of you need to ask the question or answer the question, don't you want to be God? Don't you want to be like God? And then, do you want to see God? And he is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, the depth of your word, your truth in your word. Father, just is beyond our comprehension. Lord, like the disciples, we were born with the same sinful nature. We can understand their confusion. Lord, we want to see you. We want to see you. I pray no one in this room would make the mistake of planning to see you based on what they have done, as far as good stuff and not a lot of bad stuff. I pray we would believe what Jesus said here, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to you, Father, except through him. We love you. We thank you for what you do in our lives. And Father, don't let anybody leave this room today until they know for sure who they are. Who they are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name.